Hasn't this been great so far? Knowing what tools to use in our toolbox is so important, amen? And without any further ado, you know, sometimes when I get up here, sometimes I wonder, you know, why don't I just let him preach? I don't have to say a whole lot, but what a blessing the Coomers have been to us through the years, and what a help they've been individually. I know there's several in our congregation, and we look forward to what God's going to do in our church, personal lives, and our families because of this conference. Amen. Brother Coomer, it's good to have you here.
Well, first of all, I want to say that your music has been a tremendous encouragement to Kim and I. And just outstanding. And, you know, as you travel and you preach in a lot of different churches, it's always a real blessing to be able to hear godly music and be done in a way that will honor God. And so we're very thankful for that. I want to just take an opportunity to talk to you about some of the newest booklets. And these are some that have been written since we were here last time and for the before the council, after the counseling conference. This one, Why Do I React All the Time and What to Do About It? Now again, you know, a lot of people react. I mean, they're in a moment, they're immediately going to go off the handle somewhere. So why do I do that, and what do I do about it? Okay? Help. I'm stressed out and I don't know what to do. A lot of the people who contact us on the counseling program that's some of the first statements that will come out of their mouth. Help, I'm stressed out. I don't know what to do. Well, this book will help you with that. And then, this one has really helped a lot of people dealing with forgiveness. Let me tell you that forgiveness is more about you than it is about them. Okay? And this booklet goes into some detail about how you can know that you have forgiven someone, and how that you can know that you haven't forgiven someone, and what you need to do to be able to forgive someone. So it's a very important little booklet. This is a newer one, just recently came out, called Dealing with Domestic Violence. And we deal with domestic violence. This is based on statistics in the United States that one out of four women in the United States has been the victim of domestic violence. Now, if you think that that's a very interesting statistic, that means the church is involved in it, and we know that for a fact. And so, but also, one out of nine men in the United States has been the victim of domestic violence. So we take here how to help a person who is the victim of domestic violence, what can they do, and how they should respond in certain situations, and what God wants them to do. And so it's a very interesting read, and we encourage you, if there is an issue that you are aware of with domestic violence, I think it would be a great help to someone who is involved in domestic violence. So those are some things that we think would be helpful to you. Well, we started off this morning and we talked about, the second most important decision in your life and in your family. And so the theme of the conference for me is important decisions for your family. And so I think that it's very important that we understand that life is a choice. Okay, everything in your life is going to be a choice. Everything about your relationship with God is going to be a choice. You know, and let me point this out to you. You can't make choices for somebody else. Okay? And one of the things I think people have a lot of guilt about is the fact of, well, they made this choice. Well, if they made that choice, you know, and of course the guilt of, well, what did I do to cause them to make that choice? But the reality of it is that people make choices, and you know what? They're going to live or die. They're going to stand up or fall down with their choices. So life is a choice. Now, I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight, important decisions for your life. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, First Peter chapter 5, if you would. I am going to kind of clean up a little bit on this morning because of a couple, two or three things that I think need to be brought forth with that. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, or verse 6, I'm sorry. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, let's stand together as we read out of respect to God and His Word. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. And the Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity this evening to come into your house and to proclaim your word. And I submit myself to you now. I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray for your wisdom, your guidance, and your direction. I need your help. I pray that you'll help me. And God, I pray that you'll help me to say the words that need to be said. And I pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I pray tonight, Lord, that if there's a person here unsaved, that they may come to know Thee as Savior. And Lord, if there's a person here that's out of fellowship with You, that they might have their fellowship restored. God, meet with us now. Open Your Word powerfully to us. Help us to understand and teach us now. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning I said being in fellowship with God, it's extremely important. You're not going to move forward in your Christian life at all unless you understand that you have to be in fellowship with God. You have to be in fellowship with God. You start your day that way and you do, and the spiritual impact moments that take place every single day, and they're going to. And so you have to be prepared to deal with those. Now, I said that, we first of all ask the question, is there any sin that stands between you and me? And notice I said, we ask God the question. Any sin that stands between you and me? Any hurt that I'm allowing to control me right now? I want you to show it to me. Any bitterness in my heart, I want you to show that to me, confess that, and then ask God to take it out of my heart. And then I want to, as I become to my devotional time, the time that I spend with God every day in His Word, I ask God to teach me. So I'm asking God questions. One of the forms of the way that we submit to God is to ask Him questions. And please fill me and control me today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Please fill me and control me today. I want to be a Spirit-filled and controlled person. Now, as we look at this passage here in 1 Peter 5, I want you to notice here, it says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Now, this word "humble" here means submit. So we want to humble ourselves or submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, I can't. The whole thing is I can't do that if I'm out of fellowship with God. So I have to learn to humble myself, submit myself to God. I can't do this on my own. I can only do it with God's help. I can't do it on my own. And so much of the self-sufficiency of today, of braggadocio about how great I am and how much I can do and all of this and all of that and something else, we need to make sure that we understand that if we're going to accomplish anything that is going to be done for God, we have to do it through His power and not ours. Amen? Through His power, not our power. And so it says here, That, and notice it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt yourself. It's not what it says, does it? That he may exalt you in due time. Now he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so as we talked about those spiritual impact moments, that's a moment that I cast all of my care upon God. I want to turn this over to you. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? Casting all of your care, not some, but all, upon God in those spiritual impact moments. All your care. Now, I also want you to notice here it says, be sober. It means to be serious. Be vigilant. In essence, you're going to have to be extremely watchful about those impact moments, and you're going to have to be extremely vigilant about your fellowship with God and not let anything take you out of fellowship with God during that day. Take control of your dark side. Now, if you're going to rear children that are going to grow up and walk with God, and you don't teach them this, they're going to fail. And you know, the homeschool, the Christian school, the church, and you know, it's easy to get involved in the activities of the church and be out of fellowship with God. It's easy to get involved in everything that goes on and, you know, think I'm a spiritual person because I'm involved in everything that goes on. You're not. If that's your criteria or that's your definition of being right with God, don't misunderstand me. You should be faithful in the house of God. You should be praying about the areas that God would want you to serve in. Show me which one those might be, rather than doing it in your own power. Now, notice now. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because whose adversary? Whose adversary, folks? Your adversary. That's a personal statement. Your ad. Now, you know, we don't want to get so focused on Satan. You know, I've run across people that are so focused on Satan, they're not focused on God. Now, if I have a real relationship with God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All I got to do is do exactly what God says with the tools and focus with it. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, after the service tonight, if we were getting ready to walk out the door and Pastor Sullivan gets up here, Matt gets up here and he says, I want you all to know that there's a roaring lion out by the front door. Do you realize that there would still be people that think they could beat the lion to the car? Now, if he gets up here and says there's a lion outside that door, there's no way I'm going out there. Okay? Now, the whole point of this is we need to understand the Bible here says that Satan walketh about seeking whom he may devour, he and his minions. Now, I want you to get this, and I want you to understand this. This is contextually talking about Christians. So now I want you to think with me, who is Satan devouring? If he's devouring Christians, who is that? It says, your adversary. So who is that?
It's the person that's out of fellowship with God and is not a spirit-controlled person. They have no defense. You got it? They have no defense. They're devoured. Now that's serious language, isn't it? They're devoured. And notice it says, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for people that don't have fellowship with God, and he's looking for people who are not spirit controlled. Now, if there's a lion, if you think about it like this, does a lion move quickly? Now, you're not going to have time to be able to say, okay, Satan, let me get a concordance and I'll be back. It doesn't work that way. You need to be prepared at the start of the day to understand that Satan would love to take me out today. So I need to make good decisions here in my life and teach my children and my wife and to understand here that we have to be sober and be vigilant and make good decisions here spiritually. Otherwise, a lot of bad things are going to happen. Now, just so that I can clean this up, I want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. I don't know where cleaning up is the best word, but to show something else. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 15. Now, remember, we're talking about important decisions for your family. I don't know how many times I've heard, I don't understand what happened here. I mean, our children were in the Christian school. Our children were homeschooled. And they live like the devil. I don't get it. And they do horrible things. And I don't get it. Well, if you've listened to me this morning, do you get it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, if you don't teach them what it means to be a vigilant person in respect of their fellowship with God and being a spirit-controlled person, all the other paraphernalia around you is not going to mean squat. You know, you can dress right, you can smell right, you can cut your hair right, and you can do all those things that make you look like a good independent fundamental Baptist and still be living a life that's dishonoring to God. Nothing wrong with dressing properly. Nothing wrong with taking a bath. Nothing wrong with making yourself look presentable. But that's not going to make you spiritual. Amen? Now, remember this morning I said that at the point of impact, I have to stop, think, submit myself to God. Remember, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I have to submit myself to God immediately. When you say, Lord, I want to submit myself to you, immediately now you have His power. But it requires submission. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself. Okay? Now, so something happens today. Now the boss is cranky when he or she comes in. You know, car doesn't start. Somebody said something to me at work somebody said something to me at church, somebody said something, and it doesn't, you know, I'm not happy about it. Now, if I'm not extremely careful at that point, I'll be out of fellowship with God because I'm going to react instead of submit. I'm going to react instead of submit. Now, the devil loves for you to react. God wants you to submit to him so you have his power. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 with me and verse 15. Now, notice what God's word says. Underline this one in your Bible. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. When? When is that, folks? Okay, continually. That and continually at the point of impact. That is, and the Bible here says this. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now remember I told you this morning, two big tools with God are praise and thanksgiving. And this is to be done when? Come on. When? Continually. Now you're going to have multiple impact moments every day, and you're going to have to immediately submit yourself to God to have his power, because Satan wants to lurk over here to see what happens. So you have the power of God then, the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you is now in play. So in essence, you have to engage the Holy Spirit in your life. And allow his power to work in your life. It's an important decision for your family. You're going to have to allow that to take place rather than I can do it on my own. No, you can't. You will fail. Now, do you notice it says continually? So, now think about it like this. Some of our counselees, when we get into this, they're like, oh, this was a rough week. Dr. Coomer, it was really a rough week. And, you know, I didn't realize I had so much going on in my mind. Well, let me put it to you like this. You know, you're 40 years old. You've never controlled your mind. So what do you think is going to happen here? So the first week, it's rough. The second week, it gets better. The third week, it gets better. And by the fourth week, they come in and say, you know, wow. God is helping me. God is moving in my life. I sense his presence. I can see his guidance. And since I've been practicing this, it makes everything work better for me. You know, I used to play baseball. I mentioned that. When I didn't pitch, I played third base. And I wanted to be the best player I could be. And so I had the coaches to hit me 100 balls to my left, 100 balls to my right, and 100 balls right at me every practice. So that when the real game came, it was just like practice. And the more you practice this, the better you'll get, and the stronger you will be as a Christian at fielding those spiritual impact moments. Amen? Now, when you start, you know, if somebody hits a fiery line drive right down your, you know, right down your way, you know, you might have a tough time handling that first one or even the second one. But after a while, it becomes just like practice. In essence, now you're training yourself to submit to God in those impact moments, and I'm going to do that consistently. In essence, the Bible said to be vigilant about it, right? Amen? So it does continually. So the better you do something, the more you practice it, the better you'll get. And you'll be more sensitive to those impact moments for yourself. Now, all of our counselees have what I call triggers. Something triggers them. Okay? And when something triggers them, you know, they're immediately going to react. And if they're not careful, they're going to be out of fellowship with God. They're going to say something, do something, you know, be involved in something that they wish they weren't. I preached in a church that had all blue chairs. And the walls had blue on them. Now, one of my counselees, the color blue triggered them. They'd had a rough time in there. Maybe you're walking through the mall and a song's playing overhead. You know, something of your past triggers you. And your mind starts going off to the junkyard. Immediately, stop. Think. I want to submit myself to you. Stopping and thinking means I can't go here. I want to submit this to you, God. Immediately. Be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. So I have to be vigilant. Now, I want you to turn. So in essence, this is to be done when the Bible says what? How? Continually. Praise and thanksgiving. So those are two powerful tools. You know, down at the there is a huge amount of scripture on this. Underneath my Bible, underneath in the bottom of that page, I have there's way more scripture than this, but I have written down the reference for 15 different passages of scripture that say the same thing. So when God wants to make a point in the Bible, what's he do? He repeats it. This is big. So instead of just getting up this morning and, oh, you know, I don't feel good today, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to, you know, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to get knocked on my derriere. Because I'm not casting all of my care upon him who careth for me. Amen? I'm not casting all of my care upon him who cares for me. I think I can do it on my own today. We can't do anything on our own that's going to be worth anything in eternity. Because one of these days we're going to stand before God about these things. And think about it, if you've went through your whole life living your life under your own power rather than the Holy Spirit's power. And you're going to stand before God. Now, are you starting to see how critical this gets? Amen? This is critical. This is not playtime. This is critical. Now, I want you to turn back and let's see just how critical it really is. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, remember, I'm asking God all these questions about teach me, you know, fill me, draw me. So that I don't get out of fellowship with God, I've got to respond by submitting at the point of impact. Amen? And when that wicked thought comes to your mind, immediately submit. Now Satan is going to continue to come after you with that thought, but eventually, if you continue to submit that thought, Satan's going to give up on that one.
because he knows that you're aware of it. You're not going to allow it to control you. And now, but he'll come back with some others. That's one of the reasons why it says here continually. Now, let's take a look at this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Notice what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Huh. In essence, if you really believe that you're going to live the Christian life in your own power, you're not going to win that battle. Even though we walk in the flesh, we're not going to win that battle in the flesh. Now notice it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You're not going to win that way. No, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning self-motivated, flesh-motivated. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now watch what the Bible says. But mighty through who? Through you? No, through God. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now remember I said words are important, right? This is an interesting word. Strongholds where? In your mind. Everything starts right here. Strongholds in your mind. Now the word strongholds, the definition of it is this. Kind of a long one. Means figuratively. A heavily fortified containment and is used of a false argument on which a person seeks shelter, a safe place, to escape reality. So on our intake forms, we ask this question. Do you ever think about living in a different place, a different time, a different woman, a different man? And you don't think, you know, that's a secret place. To escape reality. Rather than being willing to submit myself to God, I'm going to let my mind run off to the junkyard here, and I'm going to play over here, and I think that nobody knows. But I got news for you. That's a silly thought, because God knows. God knows. So one of the things that you have to learn is to be a spirit-controlled person here. And how that's done, and teach that to your children. The children who go off and do not serve God, it's because they're living in a fantasy world. And remember, life's a choice. And they've never learned how to control their thoughts. They've never been taught how. Oh, we can teach them in youth group to have all kinds of fun. And I'm not against fun, but I'm against fun if it's going to take the place of God's work in your life. And learning how to defend yourself spiritually. Got it? And so, mom and dad here tonight, if you don't learn this, you're not going to equip little Billy and little Susie and they're going to walk out of your home, and it's probably not going to be good. And you're going to shake your head and say, what in the world happened here? So it's very important that you make good decisions for your family. Good choices. Teaching them how to be able to control their thoughts. And how to be a spirit-controlled person. And especially at the point of impact. Now I want you to notice further. It says, casting down imaginations in verse 5. Do you know what the word imaginations means here? Fantasies. Casting down imaginations. And notice how God describes this. So in essence, if I'm allowing my mind to go off to the junkyard, I'm not really focused here on being a spirit-controlled person. I'm certainly not going to take that into consideration with my children. And guess what? Casting down imaginations. And as the Bible describes it, every high thing that exalteth itself against God. In essence, when I'm living a fantasy life up here, it's against God. And it's against what God wants for me. Now notice, it says, and bringing into captivity, how many thoughts, folks? Are you guys in here with me? How many thoughts? Every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So it is possible that that can be done. Our counselees, once they learn this, it's like, light bulb came on. Man, the light bulb just came on, you know? You know, all these things I've been thinking, and I've never known how to deal with it before. But now I do. Bringing into captivity every thought. At the moment of impact, what do I do first? Anybody tell me? Stop. Think. Submit. I can't submit quick enough. You know, I got to move quickly here. Lord, I want to submit this to you. I'm to do that continually, the Bible says. Continually. So when I recognize my triggers, and I encourage people to have a little notebook with them, because sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, oh, failed this week, Dr. Coomer. And I say, well, what happened just before you went off there? And so they have a little notebook with them. I say, write it down. What happened right before that took place? Because that's going to help you to understand what your triggers are. And I said, everybody has them, right? So, you know, I went to school way back. This is my 44th year in the ministry of being a pastor and a biblical counselor. And, you know, I went to school with guys that were in Vietnam. Anybody in here? Probably not. I don't know. Did anybody in here serve in Vietnam at all? No? Probably asked that in the wrong country, didn't I? So, but a lot of those guys came back really damaged. But it was interesting. We had conversations and they would say, if we knew what the Viet Cong was doing, we were better prepared instead of a surprise attack. So if you know what Satan is trying to do in your life, you're better prepared. Amen? Y'all with me? So now you know what he wants to do. And you need to respond accordingly at the point of impact to take control of your dark side so this does not become a issue for you that takes you out or causes you long-term being out of fellowship with God. Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, I want to go and I want you to see this. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, you know, this thing of asking God questions was developed back here. And, you know, it came from one of the greatest hurts in a person's life, people's lives. Many times, you know, we'll get hurt and we'll immediately react and handle ourselves horribly rather than immediately submit to God. Hurt can be a very difficult thing. We have a little booklet on the back table because hurt can easily become bitterness. I have to tell you, I didn't write that. Well, I wrote it, but Kim did it. She spoke to a group of ladies many years ago on dealing with hurt. And she said, would you read this before I do it? I said, sure. And I said, well, honey, that was really good. I like that a lot. She used Psalm 37. I think, wow, I really like that a lot. So we put it into print. It's on the back table. When you're hurt, you go through the flesh cycle. You know, fret, envy, anger, wrath, evil cycle of Psalm 37. Fret, envy, anger, wrath, evil. And then there's also the spiritual cycle in Psalm 37. So, you know, somebody says something to you you don't like and you start to fret. Well, how can they say that to me? I don't like it. And then you start to think evil. Then you get angry. Fret, envy, anger, wrath. Wrath is anger with a strong desire to avenge. And then you're going to do evil. So I have to realize that if I start fretting or be frustrated, that's the moment I need to what? Stop. Think and submit. Amen? Submit to God so I have His power, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells me. And I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by saying, I'm not messing with your power. Get away from me. Get it? He's there to and by the way, I know they're gone now, but in the back of the Critical Spirit book, I put in there the 70 things that the Holy Spirit does in your life. 70. I want you to get it that, I want you to understand here that God wants to help you. He wants you to have, as we saw this morning, peace, joy, and hope. But he cannot do that if you're making wrong choices. You have a free will. You can make a choice. And if you choose not to submit, you're going to suffer the consequences of your choice. Does that make sense? If you choose not to submit, then you're going to suffer the consequences of your choice. Now, this hurt that I'm talking about here, and I want you to think about, as we go through this here for a minute, think about this. I'm going to give you this, the whole scenario with it. David and his men were out fighting the enemy. Now, guys, I want you to think about this. Ladies, think about this. David and his men are out fighting the enemy, And while they're gone, another enemy comes and burns their houses, takes their wives and their children, and takes everything they've had, all their animals and everything. And verse 4 says, 1 Samuel 30, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Have you ever seen anybody who's wept so much that they had no more power to weep? I have. My cousin was brutally murdered. By a man who did horrible things to people. Her and her husband had just bought a new home. And they were moving out of the double that they lived in. The guy drives by and sees her there. She had a few boxes left. She was putting them in. Husband already went over the house. He pulls in. And he says, "My cell phone's not working and I need to call my boss because I'm lost here and I need to talk with my boss. Could I use your cell phone?" And she said, "Okay." He followed her in, killed her, did horrible things. And killed her 4-year-old daughter. My other cousin, her father, asked me to preach the funeral, and you know, there were hundreds and hundreds of people at the funeral. And at the time of the funeral, they had not caught him yet. By the way, he had done this to 30 other people. He's on death row now in Michigan City, Indiana. And I went. My cousin wanted me to go down to the casket with him. And I did. And my cousin, her father, wept until he could weep no more. The ushers came and said, "Dr. Cameron, we need you back here in the back. We got a real problem." And I went back there in a room off of the front end of the funeral home. And her husband, when I walked into that room, I saw a man who had wept until he couldn't cry anymore. And he told me, "I can't go out there." And I said, "Well, why can't you go out?" And he said, "I can't give them up." As I was standing up the casket with her father, his 7-year-old daughter was sitting down in the third row, and she kept looking to the back and she kept saying, "Where's Daddy?" So I said to him, "You have a 7-year-old daughter down there that's asking for her dad. And she needs you. Now we're going to go down and you're going to take care of your 7-year-old daughter. And I will walk with you and I will help you. And I need you and she needs you to go down there." I said, "She's here right now. You still have a responsibility to her. And we need to take care of this now. Now come on with me." And he said, "Okay." And I basically had to hold him up walking down there. And that little 7-year-old girl
arms around her dad. He helped her. She helped him. And so I send to all these hundreds of people and, you know, major television stations out of Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Star. And when I got up to preach the funeral, I said, this man has done horrible things to our family. And we're going to turn him over to God. And I ask you all here today to pray with me to turn him over to God. The next day, they caught him. And the reason that they realized it was him is because off of the 4-year-old that he had brutally murdered, he took some pieces of plastic jewelry off of her and had them in his pocket. Now David and his men were weeping till they could weep no more. Think about it, guys. You come home, your house is burned, your wife's gone, the kids are all gone. And the Bible here says that these guys were blaming David and they were sizing up stones to kill him. And when the Bible says here, then David and the people, verse 4, that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now David here, think about this. This is the guy who took down Goliath. And notice what it says in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. It didn't say he was just distressed. It said he was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He knew what God had done for him in the past. And he knew that God would take care of this. And he encouraged himself in the Lord because of what God had done for him in the past. Now, watch this carefully. Well, so what did David do? Verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? So he asked God a question. He asked him a question. He said, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Pretty personal answer, wouldn't you say? Now, I always say at this point, how long do you think it took for those old boys to get on what they were riding and took off? Not long. And they went after him. And the Bible says that they rode so hard that some of their animals gave out, and some of them gave out. And they stopped for water. And David said, anybody that can continue to ride, come with me because we're going to get them. And they went after them. And some of the other men came once their animals were able to go. And some of the other men came and they caught them. And just as God had said, they recovered all. They recovered their families. They recovered their animals and all kinds of things. But I want you to get it here with me tonight. David asked God questions. And learn to ask God. If you're a spirit-controlled person, you can ask God questions. You're not out here on your own. And not be doing just mundane praying, but ask God what He wants you to do. What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to be today? What do you want me to have today? Who do you want me to witness to today? Amen? Well, if it's good enough for David, it's good enough for us. In this great hurt. Okay? Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask. And if I am in fellowship with God, I can ask God questions. You know, instead of telling God, you know, prayer time. You ever notice how many people say, God, we want you to do this. Maybe it's better that we would say, God, how do you want me to pray about this? Instead of telling God what he's going to do. Learn to ask God questions. Amen? Learn that. Teach your children that. But I can't ask God questions if I'm not in fellowship with God. These are important decisions for your family.